Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 382. What is thy birthright, man, child of the perfect one? What is thy father's plan for his beloved son? Hymn number 382. Virginia will read from the scriptures.
Genesis. God created men in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. 2 Timothy. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly finished, furnished unto all good works. Titus. The kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father,
which art in heaven,
our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious,
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 75. God comes with succor speedy to those who suffer wrong, to help the poor and needy, and bid the weak be strong. He comes to break oppression, to set the captive free, to take away transgression and rule in equity. Hymn number 75.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin our Sundays here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson and other topics that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better in our daily lives Christian Science. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11, and that Sunday school is available to children just about anywhere. It has its own dedicated teleconference number, and many of our Sunday school students don't live in the area, but they attend via telephone. This means that if you don't live in the area, but have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend. Just call the church. We'll give you the number for the Sunday school. And our Sunday school teachers will be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting at 8:15 every Wednesday evening, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives vastly improved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services, we have a nursery for infants and toddlers. So if you do show up in person, bring the whole family. We have 21 different websites now in 21 different languages. And as a result, we reach people from across the globe with the very finest Christian Science literature. And it is offered on all of our websites free of charge. And it comes with the love of this church. And we're very grateful that many of you have found one or more of our websites, have found the healing practice, the healing comfort of Christian Science in your own language. And we are very grateful to those of you who contribute financially to our church, and this enables us to provide everything that we provide free of charge. I'd like to point out that there's an excellent article that's currently featured on our English language website, entitled Love Your Enemies by Mary Baker Eddy. Excellent article and something totally consistent with the teachings of Jesus Christ and all of his followers. Everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from our textbook, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Shahidat from Maryland.
From page 653, Grateful for Many Blessings. In 1894, I began the study of Christian Science. At that time, I was greatly in need of its healing truth. For a number of years previous, I had been a semi-invalid with no hope of ever being well and strong again. Several years before this time, I had undergone an operation which resulted in peritonitis. For 3 years previous to my study of Science and Health by Mrs. Eddy, I was scarcely ever free from headache caused by the weakened and diseased condition of the internal organs. At the time I began the study of Christian Science, I was taking 5 kinds of medicine. I began to read Science and Health and did not take treatment, for I thought, if this is truth, I shall be healed. If it is not, I shall be able to detect it and will have nothing to do with it. I became a devoted student, and gradually my bodily diseases left me. I was free. And since that time, nearly 10 years ago, neither my 2 children nor myself have taken any medicine. And our understanding of truth has been able to meet and overcome any suggestion of illness. I was a devoted member of an Orthodox church, but as I grew older, I began to question my beliefs. And to my questions, I could find no satisfactory answer. I became dissatisfied and finally ceased attending church. I could not accept the idea of God taught there, and at last my friends looked sadly upon me as an atheist. There I stood until I learned to know God as revealed in science and health, and then all my questionings were answered. In my girlhood, I had always prayed to the God I held in mind, and when the shadows of sickness, pain, and death came to my family, I prayed as only those can who know that if he helps not, there is none. But my prayers were unanswered. And I closed my Bible saying, there is a mistake somewhere. Perhaps sometime I may know. Only those who know the attitude of mind that I was in can understand the joy that came to me as I began to learn of God and Christian Science and of my relation to him. Many proofs of the healing power of truth and of his protecting care thronged my thoughts. 7 years ago, when we were in a far distant country where Christian Science was then unknown, my little daughter came in one morning from her school saying, Mother, I have measles. 20 of the girls are sick in bed, and I am afraid they will put me there also. Her face, hands, and chest were covered with a deep red rash, throat sore, and eyes inflamed. We began immediately to do our work in science, and at night when I left her at the door of the college, her face was clear, her eyes bright, and all fear destroyed. That was the end of the disease. By FMP, Boston, Massachusetts.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts and their denominational spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 20 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Man. The Golden Text, 1 John. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The responsive reading is from Psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases,
who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Like as the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him.
As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth.
For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more.
But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children.
To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them.
Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Lenny from Georgia will now read.
I will read from the Bible, Acts. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses. And he said, Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. As saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and they stoned Stephen. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And Saul desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus, named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. Romans. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Bruce will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. God, divine principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. Man, God's spiritual idea, individual, perfect, eternal. Father, Mother is the name for deity, which indicates his tender relationship to his spiritual creation. As the apostle expressed it, in words which he quoted with approbation from a classic poet, "For we are also his offspring." The universe of spirit is peopled with spiritual beings, and its government is divine science. Man is the offspring, not of the lowest, but of the highest qualities of mind. Man understands spiritual existence in proportion as his treasures of truth and love are enlarged. Mortals must gravitate Godward. Their affections and aims grow spiritual. They must near the broader interpretations of being and gain some proper sense of the infinite in order that sin and mortality may be put off. This scientific sense of being, forsaking matter for spirit, by no means suggests man's absorption into deity and the loss of his identity, but confers upon man enlarged individuality, a wider sphere of thought and action, a more expansive love, a higher and more permanent peace. History is full of records of suffering. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Mortals try in vain to slay truth with the steel or stake, but error falls only before the sword of spirit. Martyrs are the human links which connect one stage with another in the history of religion. They are Earth's luminaries, which serve to cleanse and rarefy the atmosphere of material sense, and to permeate humanity with purer ideals. The Christian martyrs were prophets of Christian science. Through the uplifting and consecrating power of divine truth, they obtained a victory over the corporeal senses, a victory which science alone can explain. Saul of Tarsus beheld the way, the Christ or truth, only when his uncertain sense of right yielded to a spiritual sense, which is always right. Then the man was changed. Thought assumed a nobler outlook, and his life became more spiritual. He learned the wrong that he had done in persecuting Christians whose religion he had not understood. And in humility, he took the new name of Paul. He beheld for the first time the true idea of love and learned a lesson in divine science. Our material human theories are destitute of science. The true understanding of God is spiritual. It robs the grave of victory. It destroys the false evidence that misleads thought and points to other gods or other so-called powers, such as matter, disease, sin, and death, superior or contrary to the one spirit. Truth, spiritually discerned, is scientifically understood. It casts out error and heals the sick. Having one God, one mind, unfolds the power that heals the sick and fulfills these sayings of Scripture. I am the Lord that healeth thee, and I have found a ransom. As a man thinketh, so is he. Mind is all that feels, acts, or impedes action. Ignorant of this, or shrinking from its implied responsibility, the healing effort is made on the wrong side, and thus the conscious control over the body is lost. Paul says in his epistle to the Romans, "The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." The likeness of God we lose sight of through sin, which beclouds the spiritual sense of truth. And we realize this likeness only when we subdue sin and prove man's heritage, the liberty of the sons of God. Man is not a material habitation for soul. He is himself spiritual. Soul, being spirit, is seen in nothing imperfect nor material. The body seems to be self-acting only because mortal mind is ignorant of itself, of its own actions, and of their results. Ignorant that the predisposing, remote, and exciting cause of all bad effects is a law of so-called mortal mind, not of matter. Mind is the master of the corporeal senses and can conquer sickness, sin, and death. Exercise this God-given authority. Take possession of your body and govern its feeling and action. Rise in the strength of spirit to resist all that is unlike good. God has made man capable of this, and nothing can vitiate the ability and power divinely bestowed on man. The infinite never began, nor will it ever end. Mind and its formations can never be annihilated. Man is not a pendulum swinging between evil and good, joy and sorrow, sickness and health, life and death. Life and its faculties are not measured by calendars. The perfect and immortal are the eternal likeness of their Maker. Man is by no means a material germ, rising from the imperfect and endeavoring to reach spirit above his origin? The stream rises no higher than its source. The measurement of life by solar years robs youth and gives ugliness to age. The radiant sun of virtue and truth coexists with being. Manhood is its eternal noon, undimmed by a declining sun. As the physical and material, the transient sense of beauty fades, the radiance of spirit should dawn upon the enraptured sense with bright and imperishable glories. God fashions all things after his own likeness. Life is reflected in existence, truth in truthfulness, God in goodness, which impart their own peace and permanence. Man, made in his likeness, possesses and reflects God's dominion over all the earth. Man and woman, as coexistent and eternal with God, forever reflect in glorified quality the infinite Father, Mother, God.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 49. Dear Lord and Father of us all, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives thy service find. In deeper reverence praise. Hymn number 49.
Thank you.
Let's now sing hymn number 342. This is the day the Lord hath made. Be glad, give thanks, rejoice. Stand in his presence unafraid. In praise lift up your voice. All perfect gifts are from above, and all our blessings show the amplitude of God's dear love, which every heart may know. Hymn number 342.
I will read from the Christian Science textbook, the scientific statement of being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter, or its infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because he knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Matthew. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Amen.